We start a new series on the New Testament, which is 27 books altogether. We have the four Gospels plus the book of Acts, followed by the nine church epistles, and then followed by some pastoral epistles, and then we have the other nine general epistles, and then the book of Revelations. The New Testament is a portion of Bible that most of us are familiar with. We read more of it than the Old Testament. And as we cover the Gospels, we have a lot of ground to cover. And remember that this is a book-by-book survey and not a detailed teaching, because some of the passages, even one chapter or one verse in the New Testament, sometimes you could teach a whole sermon on that. But since we are doing a survey, mainly to give enough information and points whereby you could go back and study the Bible for yourself, we're going to cover what we call the most important aspects of each book and point to some jewels and nuggets as we go along the way. Let's go to God in prayer as we ask God to unveil this book, the Gospel of Matthew, unto us. Father God, we ask that you establish your purposes as we study the Gospels of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God, there is no other writing like this, Lord, that reveals and show us the life, the teachings, and the ministry of Jesus Christ. And Father, He is a pattern by which we pattern our ministry after. He is the one, O God, in whom we want to take after. Oh Father, we want to be like Jesus in every way. And Father, we thank you for these Gospels that you have preserved for us through the Holy Spirit. And tonight we ask that you open the eyes of our understanding through the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of our understanding will be so enlightened that we will see all that you have placed in this Word concerning your Son Jesus. Father, cause us to study and draw attention to those things that you have especially placed here in your Word in this book. Unveil to us those things, O God, that are hidden, that we may see all your beauty and all your glory in this Gospel. Thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit of truth, who leads and guides us and teaches us all truth. Glorify Jesus right now, Holy Spirit, and cause Him to be magnified. Father, we ask that you exalt your Son, Jesus, above all else. And we pray, O Father God, that the word of faith would be nurtured and will be established in each heart as your word is ministered. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy. We promise, O God, that in all that you do, we give you the glory, worship, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. The four Gospels tells us four different aspects of the Lord's life. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are in a category by themselves, and they speak about the most of the human side and the outer part of Jesus' life. But the Gospel of John speaks about the inner life of Jesus more than the others. And most of all the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, focus on the Galilean aspects of Jesus' ministry, while John focuses on the Judean aspect. If you study the Gospels, you'll notice that his ministry concentrated on two major areas, around Galilee and around Judea. Now, the four Gospels are a special class by themselves. The Gospel of Matthew speaks to us about Jesus Christ, the King. The Gospel of Mark speaks about Jesus Christ, the servant. The Gospel of Luke, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. The Gospel of John, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All these four Gospels are in all their different aspects that we have in the Word of God. Gospel of Matthew is like the picture of a lion and Jesus Christ, the King. The kingliness of Jesus. The Gospel of Mark is like Jesus Christ, the Son, is a picture of the ox. The Gospel of Luke is a picture of a man, Jesus, the Son of Man. The Gospel of John is like the eagle. And these are the four images and four creatures that surround the throne of God. And on one side they look like an eagle, on the other side they look like a lion, on the other side they look like a man, and on one side they look like an ox. And those are the creatures that we have looked at in the book of Ezekiel and the book of Revelations. Now the Gospel of Matthew, as we look at it, we want to remember that this is one whole general writing. And as Matthew writes the Gospel, he has a certain outline and theme that we need to observe in his presentation. Sometimes we are caught in all these chapters. I believe that it is a rare time that a Christian read the Gospel of Matthew all through in one sitting. Most of the time, they just read one chapter here, one chapter there. And so they don't quite see the whole pattern. We need to see the whole pattern at a go before we study the detailed stories. The Gospel of Matthew is supposedly originally written to the in Hebrew, originally to the Hebrews, the Jews. And later on, it was recorded by the scribes in Greek, etc. This is a Gospel that is especially presented to the Jew. Gospel of Luke is presented to the Gentiles. So here we have, in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus is presented as the Messiah King, that Matthew has the Jewish congregation or Jewish readers in mind. And as Matthew writes this Gospel, there is a certain theme that he takes. And the theme is observed in two verses that we want to point to. In Matthew chapter 1, right up to chapter 4 is the introduction. Matthew chapter 1 to chapter 4 is the introduction. Now something took place in verse 12 and verse 13 of Matthew 4. Look carefully at Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. Look at that. Jesus shifted his dwelling place. His hometown shifted from Nazareth to Capernaum. And we need to take note. See, these are not the things we take note when we do our devotion with the Gospels. We are more captivated by the sayings of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus and the miracles of Jesus. And we don't take note of the fact that he actually has shifted hometown. But that's significant. I mean, if you were to shift house, it is a big event. But we passed by because there were other things that took our eyes. We saw the healing, we say, wow. We saw the devil coming to tempt me, we say, wow. And then we forgot that he shifted hometown. In Matthew 4, verse 12 and 13, Jesus shifted his place of dwelling. He shifted from Nazareth to Capernaum. That's a big move. And most of the time, his ministry centered around Capernaum and Galilee. Now, he traveled from time to time to all the various places. But his center was now in Capernaum. And that marked the first major point in the book of Matthew. That is Matthew 4, verse 12 and 13. The second major mark is in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19... Verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. Now in chapter 19, verse 1 onwards, Jesus Christ left Galilee. Now Capernaum was a region around Galilee. Was one of the cities around Galilee. And in Matthew 19 verse 1, Jesus actually left that region and went to Judea. So again there was a shifting. And Jesus lived in the regions of Judea in the different homes. Most probably, people think that the place that he centered on was in Bethany, which the Gospel of John seems to show that Jesus dwelt there very often, in Bethany, and he goes down to Jerusalem from there. So Matthew 19, verse 1 marks the second major geographical move of the Lord Jesus. Now, as we study the four Gospels, we need to take note of that. For in the Gospel of John, most of what was recorded is in this sector. It's in the area of Matthew 19 onwards. While all the other Gospels focus on the Galilean ministry. And the ordinary reader in the Bible who reads a little bit at a time, some people read one chapter a day, some read five, some ten, some one verse a day. They believe in the old saying, a verse a day keeps the devil away. And they could have also magnify and say a book a day keeps the devil and the demons at bay. So, we have here the two demarcations in Jesus' ministry. That is the geographical demarcation, that as you read the Gospels, remember to look for them. For those signify turning points. We know that even in our modern era, when an evangelist or a fivefold minister shifts his headquarters from one place to another, it is significant. Especially if they're having an impact in a certain area. That's how in the end, in America, Oklahoma, Tulsa became like an evangelistic capital where most of the evangelists centered their headquarters there. The other point is also in Fort Worth. And we realized that there was a shifting that was done. When Reinhard Bonnke shifted his headquarters from South Africa to Germany, it was a significant move. And it was after that his ministry took on a different aspect. So, here are examples that we can see in the modern era, in modern generation. Now, Jesus shifted his ministry revolved on a different place from Matthew 19, verse 1. He left Galilee and he centered on the one thing that he came for, the cross, that he came to die for the sins of the world. Now, having demarcated the Gospel of Matthew into those two major points, we have first of all the first section, the introduction, Matthew chapter 1 right up to chapter 4 verse 11, the first section that introduces Jesus Christ. Then we have the second major section that begins in Matthew chapter 4 when he shifted to the region of Galilee and made Capernaum his hometown. Then we have the third major section when he shifted back in Matthew 19 verse 1 onwards, right on to Judea and Jerusalem. His ministry center in Jerusalem. And most probably his town that he lived in was in Bethany, the place where apparently Lazarus was. So in the introduction here, in Matthew chapter 1, we see that even in the genealogy, there is a prophetic element. It says here in Matthew chapter 1, with all the begets that starts us off, what we need to take note here is that there are Gentiles involved in this beget. Look at verse 5. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Now Rahab was a Gentile. And then it says, Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Now there was Gentile blood involved. And with all the names that are listed there, we notice in verse 17, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David unto the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. From the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. The number 14 comes into significance. Remember that when God does something new, it's always tied up to the Passover. The number of the Passover is 14. It falls on the 14th day in the month of Abib in the Jewish calendar. So the number 14 speaks about a new beginning and points back to the Passover lamb. everything in Jesus' life had a significance. And we see His birth, etc. in the introductory part. Now we are going to concentrate more on the details of the birth of Jesus when we go to the Gospel of Luke.